Welcome to the Kerr's Hire Cat Attack Podcast Grand Final Eve Edition. Geez, that has a nice ring to it. I didn't think I would be uttering Kerr's Hire Podcast and Grand Final Eve Edition all in the one sentence, but I'm very happy to do so. Ben Castagnoli with you. I'm with Tommy King. Tommy, it's been a strides off sort of arrangement
Hello,
this week,
Benny.
Hasn't it?
How have you been? How are you?
Well,
nerves? Doesn't feel like Grand Final.
It doesn't really, and no. I've sort of been off Broadway a little bit, so I haven't been down in Warrnambool for 3 days, and so I've been. And let me tell you, Warrnambool hasn't exactly embraced the Grand Final. There's not much going on down there in terms of Grand Final stuff.
I don't think there's anybody from down that neck of the woods.
Well, I would have thought it's a bit of a Geelong heartland, isn't it? Western District.
Well, it's more Fitzroy because that was their zone,
right?
Down to there, and probably they were hoping for McCluggage and Brisbane to get through.
You might be right.
That neck of the woods.
Well, you might be right, but there wasn't much going on down there in terms of the Grand Final. And but look, I'm up and about now that I'm back in Geelong, and I was having a bit of a think about it last night, and then I woke up in a cold sweat at about 3 o'clock.
Why? What happened?
Just yelling out, "Dusty!" not Dusty. I watched. I don't watch a lot of the footy shows. In fact, I don't watch any of them. To be honest with you, I haven't watched one this year. So, but I did watch the pre-Grand Final Eve sort of roundup or preview on Fox last night. Was it last night? Well, I watched it recorded anyway. Yep. So it was Gary Lyon, Nick Riewoldt, Jonathan Brown, Joey Montagna, and David King.
So some people who make sense.
Yes, and that's why I watched it. And it was really good. They gave us, you know, one group had why Richmond win, another group had why, did you? You didn't say why Geelong would win, and then they all sort of got together and had their tip and whatever. And it was good. It gave some really good fodder, and it got the juices flowing, King.
Because Geelong came out in front?
Well, four of the five tipped the Cats. Not that that means anything, but they did. And do you know what? One of the stats that they came up with, which nearly I had to just be sort of partly revived.
Sedated?
Yeah, pretty much. I did call for the defibs. Was that, and I'm pretty sure it was across the three finals for the Cats. At least the last two, but maybe the three. I wasn't 100% sure where they'd taken the sample from. But so from 100, I think it was 107 rebound 50s in the finals for the Cats. Out of Geelong's back half.
Yeah, that would be three finals. I can't see them having 53 rebound 50s.
No, you're right. Yeah, so it's three finals. So 107 rebound 50s. How many times do you think the opposition from those 107 rebounds has kicked a goal?
Or maybe zero?
Once.
Yeah, okay.
And that was the goal against Brisbane that Lachie Neale kicked on the run when the ball got on the wing, it got out the back.
Yes.
And he ran to 50 and kicked it through, and there was nobody basically in the square.
Yep.
That was that goal. That was the only time Geelong have conceded a goal.
After rebounding the ball out of their defence.
Yes.
50,
so. Which was, I thought, was pretty staggering, to be honest with you. And that's Richmond's strength.
Yep.
Turning those rebound 50s with Hooley, Short, and Baker.
Yep.
to forward, to, you know, through the middle, into the forward line, and then scoring from those. So that gave me a little bit of heart, Kingy, that the Cats have obviously set up really well defensively. And there's a couple other little bits and pieces there too that, you know, Geelong scoring late in quarters is really strong.
Yep.
They get on top of teams late in quarters. And
they did that against Brisbane. We talked about it during the call, especially the first three quarters. A lot of that ball spent time in Geelong's forward half, but being stoppage after stoppage, boundary throw-ins, ball-ups, and Geelong was able to break Brisbane late, as you talk about, probably in the old red time.
Yeah.
And brought it, and that's where the Geelong's dominant, you know, they were able to just, you know, keep throwing punches, and then they would land the knockout blow in some way, shape, or form.
Yeah, and it got me back into Grand Final mode, that little show last night, and I was up and about the Cats. Then they highlighted how good Dusty is and how good Richmond are in terms of, they talked about, and You know, when we're calling the games, it's difficult to sort of...
We don't get trends.
...assess the game. You're just calling it, and the scoreboard's there, and, you know, you don't... And then because it's been sort of so... The games have been one after another, it's been difficult then to go back and watch games. So, you know, we watch them, and then we call them, but it's difficult to then... Others are obviously analysing what happens. Yep. Richmond, they showed how Richmond are really good at getting the ball on the outside. And if they get the ball on the outside on you, Geelong probably don't have the leg speed to keep up with them.
No.
But Geelong's game is crash and bash in the middle. Yep. They're actually really good. And what they've been able to do in the last few weeks is get some clean ball out of the stoppages, out the front of stoppages. And Sam Simpson has been really good at that.
Yep.
So it's going to be a real battle. The Cats, and Cats have bigger bodies than Richmond. Not, you know, not, it's not huge, but they do have the bigger, slightly bigger bodies. So Geelong have got to win that battle in tight and limit the ability of Richmond to get the ball on the outside to hook that one handball out that becomes two handballs to the wing, to Shai Bolton, to Hooley, to Baker, to Short, to Edwards, those guys who do the damage on the outside. They've got to limit the ability to do that, because if Richmond are able to do that, Geelong are going to be in really big trouble, because it will also then expose their defence.
Yeah. I've got a sneaking suspicion it has to be close for Geelong to win it. Richmond are the only team who can blow the grand final.
Yeah, probably. I think Geelong are in too good a form to get blown.
No, and they, yeah, but if there was one team that could pile on goal after goal after goal, it's Richmond.
Well,
especially the Gabba. The Gabba is not a long ground; it's wide.
No, you can.
But gee, I tell you, like, as you know, and you say you don't watch any of the footy shows, you probably should have been watching 360 on Monday night, Bernie.
Why is that?
You call of Gazza's goal out of the middle.
Oh, but when he didn't kick it.
Yeah.
Do you know what? I watched that and I thought, geez, I've muffed that because Gaz has streamed out of the middle. I thought he kicked a point. It was actually a goal. But do you know what was franked? Do you know what made me feel better, Kingy?
Bruce actually thought it was.
Bruce thought it was a point as well. And I thought, yes.
Yeah, because we're calling... Well, he was live at the ground.
Yeah. The players all gravitated towards the points.
We're from the K-Rock hub.
Yeah, well, mate.
And so we've probably got an excuse because we're only dealing with one bit of vision.
Yeah, but I should have just gone with the goal, and then if it was a point, you can't really take back the...
But I listened back to it, and there was a slight...
There was a pause.
A slight, but you're probably just making sure, well, I hope I get this right. Right.
But so, it was a funny one. It did just watching it looked like it was a point, and it actually it didn't scrape through by much, but it did obviously scrape through. So, I shouldn't have doubted Gaz.
But no, not on the run like that.
No, you just don't doubt the Gaz. No. Last game for the little fella.
Yeah, 357 games he's going to finish on.
Yeah.
Gee, and do you know what? He's missed a little bit of footy in that too. He lost a couple of years there at the Gold Coast. Mm. He would have would he still be playing? If he hadn't have lost those couple of years, maybe not. But, gee, if he had been a 400 gamer, it would have been fantastic. Like, would he still? If he had played Geelong all the way through his career, would he still be playing right now? Or would he have gone, well, he probably had jagged another two flags and he's won four or five and he would have just said, well, I'm done at age 33.
Do you reckon the Cats might have won another one if he was there?
Would have won another two.
You reckon?
Yep. I reckon, they 2011 when he left, they won
and
that.
13.
I reckon they would win 13. And they probably win 16.
Yeah, mate, it's a big call. But yeah, look,
they win one of 16 or 17.
Potentially.
Because
do you reckon he looks back and thinks, I probably shouldn't have gone to the Gold Coast?
No.
Do you reckon he looks at his bank balance and thinks that's definitely why I should have gone to the Gold Coast?
No, the other thing is too that his legacy's not tarnished by...
No, I'm not suggesting, but I just wonder when he sits back in 10 years' time, does he think...
I don't think so, because he went and led footy into it wasn't a new frontier because we'd played footy on the Gold Coast with the Bears, but it was a new franchise. It was different, and he was the face of it. And I suspect he went away and maybe learned a bit about himself. He got out of the Geelong bubble.
Yeah.
He'll look at that and go, there was some real personal growth during that time that he might not have got staying basically, you know, in the gaze of the Geelong public. He went off Broadway for...
Yeah, I don't think he ended up liking being off Broadway because he wanted to come back to playing finals.
He didn't play in a Friday night game.
No, I think he missed... I mean, that was part of the why he wanted to come back.
Do you know what? That Brent McCaffer has a lot to answer for. He laid the tackle on Gaz that popped his shoulder in, what was it, round 16 or 17, 24.
When Gold Coast were finals bound then.
And they won that game.
Yeah.
And they fell in a massive hole. That tackle, and look, it might have, you know, if Gold Coast play finals and they had issues and McKenna went and he came in and all that sort of stuff, but and it might have papered over the cracks if, you know, the Gold Coast had played finals. But I've never seen one moment in a footy club's history change on one moment.
Yeah.
And the Suns, since that moment, have been battled.
I wonder whether if Geelong win tomorrow night, I don't think he'll look back and think, geez, I should have stayed at the Cats. If they lose, sometime down the track, he might look back and think, you know what, probably could have got another flag.
But do you know what, though?
He probably couldn't get his stuff.
He's going to be revered as one of the greatest of all time. Does Gaz's resume in football, from his 19 years of playing, does he become an automatic legend?
Oh, I think he will be anyway, won't he?
So he will automatically go into the Hall of Fame
at
5 years.
Yep.
Do you elevate him straight to legend?
Oh, I don't know about straight.
Make a case against.
Oh, I just don't know. I don't know about going to straight. There's got to be a little bit of time to... Who's gone straight?
Well, the Hall of Fame started in 96.
Yeah.
And there was a bunch that went straight to legend status.
Yeah, but who's come out of the game and then gone?
Nobody's gone straight to legend status.
No, I don't know that we need to do that. I don't worry about all that sort of stuff.
Oh, I like it. I like the history and
prison. Yeah, no, I don't dislike it, but I don't get immersed in it. I'm more immersed in what's going to happen on Saturday night.
Aren't we?
But I just look, if he goes in, he does. If he doesn't, then I'm sure he won't lose any sleep. And at some point, he will.
But like it's when you, I know part of your youth goes. Like I know we're both in our 40s, but Gaz started playing footy when I was in my early 20s.
Yeah,
I think you would have been in your early 30s.
Yeah, I was young and virile.
You think of what's unfolded in your life in that time and how the world's changed from March 2002, when he sat on an interchange bench alongside our old mate Tim McGrath to start that game.
Against Essendon
round one.
I was there that night.
Round one 2002.
Yeah.
And it's what's gone in between and how the world's changed. And, you know, he made his debut 6 months after the Twin Towers collapsed.
Yeah. Yeah, he's it's been an amazing story, and he gets a chance, you know, unbelievably to put the biggest exclamation mark on it with the premiership. And he was good last week. You know, we were sort of a little bit, well, I was not fearful, but he'd been just in the previous two finals, even in the win against Collingwood. He was okay early, and then, you know, he didn't play poorly, but he didn't play well. But
he had an impact against Collingwood when he needed to.
Early he did, and then he drifted out of the game altogether, really, in the second half. But
self-preservation.
It didn't matter because, yeah, well, the Cats had the game won. But last week he showed some glimpses. I've mentioned he's just got to get the ball to him in space. He's got to get those, you know, 10 to 15 touches in space, because he will impact the flow of the game if he can do that. And that's probably really important for him. The other thing, too, that I like King in, and it hasn't been a trademark of his game, but he played with a bit of urgency last week, and he played with a bit of, you know, he was trying to do the little things, and it's never come first nature to him, those little defensive things in footy. He's been an all-out attack sort of player, and fair enough, every club and team has those. Dustin Martin is probably the prime example. But Gaz was doing his best to chase and tackle and harass and put pressure on and provide those other little things. And I've got no doubt that he'll be doing it tomorrow. So he's got to do that as well. Yep. You can't have mental lapses, especially against Richmond. I just wonder, so who then, I know we spoke about it a little bit earlier in the week, but the matchups for those three players for the Cats, I know I keep banging on about it, but Short, Hooley and Baker.
Yep.
They cannot run wild.
No.
If they do, Geelong will not win.
So who does
Dull, I guarantee you they will not win.
Who does Dullhouse
Well, that, this is... This
Dullhouse
is,
has to play a defensive role.
Yeah. Baker jumped up last week, but I'd send him to Hooley.
Yep.
And you've got to just limit... And I'm not suggesting go and play a really hard tag, but he cannot allow Hooley to get the ball 25 times.
Because if he does, Richmond are going to score off probably half of them.
And we're in trouble,
yep.
In big trouble. So limit his ability. Now, Richmond like to use Hooley as that spare player. So they'll bring one up to the they'll have him sort of roaming
off the contest.
Yeah, as the split. And he reads the game really well. He's a good kick. He's got the speed to link up.
Well, so what do we know about Batcher Hooley? We know he's a left footer. So what are we trying to do?
Or push him to the... You've got to try and bring him back onto his right, if you can. Corral him and bring him back into his right. But you've got to... So I agree with you. I think Dalhouse is a good match. So Dalhouse isn't in great form.
No.
Work off Yeah. Beat Hooley initially and then try and work into the game if things are going the Cats' way.
Yep.
But limit Hooley, and particularly early on in the game, do not have him running off. Baker, I'd put, I don't know. I mean,
is
look.
It, is it Myers?
Well, Myers is, Baker, oh, Baker was nearly Richardson's best player last week. He was, he turned into Andrew McLeod. Quite, but he wasn't far off it. Myers is an aerobic beast. I don't know what Liam Baker's tank is like. It, on face value, it looks, you know, I mean, anyway, he's playing the game as,
solid.
As a reasonable tank, yeah, but is it elite? Grime Myers is elite. Does Grime have the defensive sort of aspect to his game? Because he's young, maybe he'll feel a tendency to play slightly defensive, although we want him playing attacking because that's where he's going to do his...
He's got to pick his moments.
Yeah, he does. So, okay, let's say Myers goes to Baker. Let's say then hopefully Myers can expose Baker up the field, bring him and work him all over the ground, then limit his ability to get involved because he's stuffed.
But all of a sudden now you're wanting... We're running defensive roles when you want really Richmond to be playing defensive roles.
Well, that's this is the problem. And then they've got short. So who plays on short?
Rowan.
Potentially. I just don't know about Gary Rowan defensively.
So we know Bolter's going to go back to Hawkins.
Yep.
Where's Grimes go
to? Well, Grimes probably goes to Rowan.
So who goes to Dangerfield?
Because I feel like Grimes can run off Rowan.
Okay, who goes to Dangerfield?
Well, that's probably Broad.
Right.
I think if he's forward.
Yep.
Broad or Grimes, one of those two. Mm. Maybe Grimes. I don't know. It's catch 22 for them.
Because these team defences too. What will happen is, in, you know, the 666 will start everything and we'll get that at every bounce and players will stand next to each other. And then in all the hurly-burly of it, what will happen is it just there'll be movement, massive
everyone.
Players.
Yeah.
And it'll be just be, okay, well, are you there? Are you there? Who's got him? I better go to him. I'm the nearest.
Yeah, that will happen. And that happens in every game. I think from their perspective, they'd be a little bit nervous with Broad's agility on Dangerfield. And most people are, but he's not the quickest player. He's a really dour sort of defender. Dangerfield's more explosive. Grimes probably has a better skill set in terms of speed, in terms of keeping up with him. Mm. So they've got two options there. Neither of them are a lock. It's probably a bit like the Cats with I think the Cats are better placed to... Let's put it this way. I think the Geelong have got more options and better options to play on Martin when he plays forward than Richmond do to play on Dangerfield when he's forward.
Yep.
So just lock, get those matchups right. You mentioned Bolter. Asprey obviously rotates now in the mid as a ruckman. It limits his ability on who he plays on because he's coming up to play in the ruck every 7 or 8 minutes.
That's where Geelong can get on top.
Well, let's hope.
Yeah, that's where Blitzarves can get on top of Asprey.
I'd love to see Blitzarves have a big... Oh, I think Stanley can get on top of Asprey.
Yeah.
I mean, he'll probably ruck against Nankervis.
Yep.
The other one for them that will be really interesting is... Hawkins has been unbelievable in the ruck, up forward with the throw-ins, boundary throw-ins.
And just remove...
Even some stoppages, just throw-ups, where he just moves blokes out of the way who are bigger than him. And for them, it's an interesting... For Richmond, does Nankervis then go down and compete against Hawkins, or do they back Bolter, who's an absolute novice in terms of playing in the ruck?
Oh, they've got to send Nankervis down
which
there.
That then allows Geelong... For Stanley to sit back, one kick off the play, and be a real factor in terms of them bringing the ball out.
Block the exit.
Yeah.
Yep.
Because they wouldn't... I think a lot of clubs have banked on their defender going up in the ruck against Hawkins, and then he gets his pants pulled down.
Yep.
So that ruckman then is also forward of the ball as well.
Mm.
Whereas hopefully Richmond feel compelled to put Nankervis to have... Which then... That helps tire out Nankervis.
Yeah.
Because then he's got to work. Yep. He's got to work to every stoppage.
Talking about tiring out, you want to know what last? I know they're going to have an extra day, but last Friday night, that will have had some,
it was brutal game.
Yeah, some impact as opposed to the Cats who, you know, were made to work, but probably had a quarter and a half where not comfortable, but where it was probably not
mentally.
As,
it was a lot more comfortable.
Yeah.
Which can play a part.
Yep.
Richmond, don't forget, Richmond are a seasoned group, though. If Richmond were a young group, I'd say that might be a factor. But, geez, they're battle-hardened, Richmond.
Yep.
I don't know that is going to be a factor. I think that they're just way too battle-hardened to mentally or physically cave in.
So Richmond, I think, with the two flags have gone, qualifying prelim won it.
Yeah.
Whereas this time they've had to go the long
way. Yeah. but they're equipped to do it.
Yeah, absolutely. And
you know, the thing from Geelong's angle that I like is that they've got some confidence into some blokes who you probably needed to get some confidence into. So Rowan is probably the biggest one of those, and the next cog is probably Stanley. Yep. They've played reasonably well, had an influence, which is great going in. Myers hasn't starred, but he's hit the scoreboard.
Yep. Last week.
And he's got involved. Yep. He kicked a goal against Collingwood, didn't he? Kicked goal early.
He did, yeah. He's only kicked yeah, but he's got in about 8 or 9 games.
He's got involved. He's been involved. He hasn't starred, but he's got a little bit of confidence. Guthrie and Menegola have maybe had, I wouldn't say a slump, but off a little bit for a week or two. They're sort of back to what they were earlier on in the season. Henry has stepped up. Mm. Was really good last week. I know Colin Jasny's been solid. Mm. He beat Cameron point blank.
So, the matchup. So, Taylor's definitely going to Lynch.
Yeah, well, that concerns me.
Yep, that's going to happen, though.
The one thing I'll say about that will definitely happen. If Tom Lynch has kicked 2 goals in the opening 10 minutes.
That's got to go back.
Has to. Yep. You cannot wait till Lynch has kicked his fifth and it's 20 minutes into the third quarter and they're 6 goals behind. Yep. It's too late.
Yep.
If Lynch is shaping as the bloke as he was in the prelim last year that threatens to actually be the biggest barrier between you and the premiership, put your best defender on him. Mm. Put your sort of pride in your pocket and say, yeah, okay, we've worked Blitzarves up the ground for most of the year and it's worked. Right now, we need our best defender on the bloke who's going to pull our pants down.
To win a flag.
Yes.
Yep.
The problem with that is that where does Harry Taylor play?
Probably nowhere.
That's the issue because he doesn't really have another matchup. He's one-dimensional.
Revolt.
Well, you could. Revolt's out of form. But he's built for the big games. I just like Colin Jasny on Riewoldt. I've mentioned that before. Did a number on him in last year's prelim. Riewoldt did a number on Henderson about 6 weeks ago. Just put Colin Jasny to him.
Mm. Buse to Castagna?
Yeah, I don't mind that. Or
Buse to Rioli.
Probably Buse to Rioli.
O'Connor to Castagna?
Yeah, O'Connor to Castagna. And that leaves Henry to go, I like Henry on Martin, or first crack on Martin when Martin's forward.
Yep.
If that's... looks to be a little bit shaky.
Would Henry have the strength to go?
I think he would, because
I reckon Colin Jasny's strength is.
He has. I think Henry's probably a little bit more agile than Jake Colin Jasny. He's a bit more straight line player.
Yeah, so Charlie turned Collar around a couple of times early last week.
Yeah, and I thought that was a bit of a strange matchup. That really isn't his go. But
because he did that though, and has got some confidence out of getting Charlie Cameron in the end. Do they go, well now? Okay. Bang, tick him off. Now Dusty's your next one.
I think at least there's options for the Cats. Mm. But they've got to get him right. And in the last two outings against Geelong, Richmond against Geelong, they haven't.
Not right, yep.
Lynch was way too good for Taylor in the prelim. Riewoldt was way too good for Henderson a few weeks ago. And they just haven't got those matchups right. They've got to get those right and they've got to move quickly if they're not working. Mm. Don't just keep hoping that it's going to come good. I mean, Harry Taylor he's been around a long time and he can get pretty worked up before the games. He's not a cool, calm. He plays cool, calm and collected. He's not cool, calm and collected.
He's emotional.
Very.
Yeah, you've only got to see his reaction after games.
Very. He can be a little bit left of centre before the game,
yep.
In the rooms before the game. He's going to be absolutely on edge. It's his last game.
He's going to be wound up like a clock.
Oh, wow. And if it's not going well for him, you just got to hope that they're happy to pull the trigger. If the pre-game plan will be, hopefully and no doubt they will have spoken about it. At what point does we have to send Blitzarves
to Lynch?
Yeah.
If that's,
I'd like them to pull the trigger on that sooner rather than later. Yeah. Don't wait till the sore is a gaping wound. Actually, try and nip it in the bud.
We'll do a post grand final Cat Attack podcast. I'm not sure exactly when we'll do it. But we will do it sometime next week for Jared and the team at Kerr's. Hi, Jared is an avid listener.
Oh, he'll have his face painted.
Yeah, he loves it. Loves the Cats. So,
just talk about that rap. Mm-hmm. A little bit of disturbing news during the week. Well, Geelong got 3 first round picks.
They do.
None of them are going to be in the top 15.
No, one will. The Gold Coast pick, I think.
I don't think that's going to get pushed out with next generation picks.
Isn't that locked at 11? It actually can't move.
Oh, not the person I was talking to suggesting that will end up at about 15.
Right.
And their third first round pick will end up around about 24.
Okay.
So Geelong could package. Well, they're going to have to give one away for Cameron.
Yep.
Probably.
And a player.
Yes. And they also may package the two up to get up at the pointy end of the draft. The irony of the catch is they got three first round picks.
Yeah.
And one of them will be in the 20s.
Yeah. And that's just how it's been for Geelong for the last 15 years.
Wow. So, anyway, I don't want to put it. We're leaping ahead past tomorrow night's big one. But
And don't want to go too far beyond that. But we'll see. So, Ablett and Taylor are the two we're seeing for the last time.
Yes.
Yep. We don't know that definitively with
Harry. Well, Gaz has said that, hasn't he?
Gaz has said it. Yeah, we don't know that definitively.
I would have thought Harry Taylor would be. Yeah. It's he's been unbelievable, Harry Taylor. And he's performed admirably this year. I was a critic of him going on. Not a critic of him, because he couldn't be. He's been great. But I thought, I'm not sure they were pulling the right rein and him playing on. I wasn't sure they were pulling the right rein with Lachie Henderson playing on either.
So, well, he'll get a deal for next year.
Yeah, I'm probably not against.
Well, I think you have to give him one.
Yeah.
Because if you're going to develop, depends on where De Conning plays. De Conning's going to have the ability, like his brother.
Yep.
He could be a key position at either end of the ground.
Could Kruger play in defence? If they get Cameron.
They have played Kruger in defence as a VFL player.
Yeah.
I think he spent most of this year playing as a forward in the scratch matches. But I believe he's got the ability to go back.
So. I think they might. If they're getting Cameron, his best chance of playing, if Harry Taylor goes out, is in defence.
What does it mean for Sav getting Jeremy Cameron?
Yeah, well, that's an interesting one.
Stanley will get a new deal.
Well, they're either going to try. Well, you've got to have more than one ruckman.
Yeah, so Radicalea is probably. I reckon you give Stanley another year and see what you can create next year with him. And then I reckon. Is he done at 31 maybe then?
Yeah, I think.
And then
I just think Radicalea's got way too much talent to let him go.
Because he's got two. If you give Sav two more big pre-seasons and say, look, you might be in and out in 2021, but come 2022, you are our ruckman.
Yeah.
You are our main man.
Is he tall enough?
Yeah, of course he is.
197.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. Because he's big enough, because his body is big enough.
Yeah, he's physical too, which helps. But Lachie Fogarty, do you reckon he'll ask for a trade?
Don't know. Well, so you've got to look at, okay, we still don't know what the list sizes are next year.
No.
So we don't know how many picks the Cats are taking to the draft. They'll take at least three, but what do they look like? Because we don't know how Cameron coming in, Sean Higgins coming in, is going to impact on all that. So I suppose this is all stuff, Benny, we might talk about. We're going to jump the gun.
We want to get our pants. We want to get our bed socks on, King. We want to get our popcorn out and our helmets on for tomorrow night because the Cats get a chance to win a premiership.
That doesn't happen every year.
Do you reckon that...
It used to.
How do you reckon that someone like... I know they won't. I know. I'm just asking the question, right? Don't shoot the messenger. What do you think some of the players like Dangerfield and Selwood? They're playing in a grand final, but it's a very different grand final. Yep. The build-up, if they were here and they had the parade today and we were going to the MCG.
Tom Hawkins did say yesterday, he goes, it won't feel like a grand final till we get there.
Yeah. Do you reckon they'll be thinking, oh, we've sort of been robbed a little bit?
A little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah. But in the end...
Not robbed, but...
But shortchanged.
Yeah, a little bit. Dangerfield's waited all the time to play in a grand final and he's in a hub.
And playing at the Gabba in front of 30,000.
Yes.
Not at the MCG in front of 100.
Yes.
We've got some questions, but talking about questions, big guest tomorrow, the CEO.
Oh, the Chief.
Gil McLaughlin. Gil McLaughlin will be pre-game.
He's a Saints man, isn't he?
I actually don't know.
He's a St Kilda supporter. I think so.
Okay. He's joining us. Colin Carter's going to be on with us. Question of Colin's going to be interesting is whether he was planning on stepping down as El Presidente at the AGM, which I understand has been pushed back to January.
Do you reckon they might put him on the rookie list?
Well, yeah. Is he a bit Lachie Henderson? We were going to delist you, but we'll bring you back.
We don't have an option of another presidency. We'll just get you on the rookie list in case you need one off the bench.
So that'll be an interesting question. Hearing a whisper, there was a board meeting of the Cats last night, hearing word that the Cats will be... and I think Brian Cook might have already said this, but further confirmation, they'll be cash neutral this year. So going from potentially losing 10 or 11 mil to maybe breaking even.
Yeah.
And there is a bit of prize money to Moses. A mil for the winner and half a mil for runner-up that helps as well. Although, if you win, of the mil, half of it, I think, goes to the players. And then it's split among the group.
Oh, that'd be nice. It'd be a big quaddy on Saturday, next Saturday, wouldn't it, for Derby Day?
Derby Day, yeah.
They'll have a monster, about 8,000%.
The other thing I heard... from somebody in the know was that the Cats are turning over $50,000 a day through the Cat Shop.
Today? The last week?
Yeah, in the last few days, yeah. Including...
Well, that helps.
A lot of online. Yeah.
Do you reckon you're buying... Do they still got any Mark Blake badges?
I don't know. I'm not sure.
Whose badge do you reckon would be going off?
Gazza's.
Yeah, it'd be collector's item.
Probably the last chance to buy one.
They'd be sold out of Gazza's.
Yeah, Gazza's. I reckon there'd be a few Zach Tuohy's.
Yeah, I don't know. I reckon they're big Ukrainian. Some of the younger girls would be in there just purchasing a sort of a Ukrainian arrangement.
Talking about the Ukrainian.
What?
I've picked him. So Geelong Addy asked for our...
You picked him in the Norm Smith?
No.
Oh.
First goal.
Oh, if he kicks the first goal, King, you'll have to be sedated. Like, literally, you'll have to get... There's a stuff they give horses called ACE. It just calms them down. You'll need about 17 mils of it.
So one of the other questions they asked was, what has been the biggest disappointment of 2020? And I replied, Jake Collar-Jasny not kicking a goal.
Imagine he got one in the grand final. People know. Do you reckon it's set up for him to get one?
Yeah, it is. Yeah. I tipped Cam Guthrie for the Norm.
I haven't thought about that actually.
You've got 20. What are we? We're 20-1 on Friday afternoon as we record.
I mean, you somebody who probably one of the bigger names generally wins the Norm Smith, don't they? Even if they're not quite the best player.
No, yeah, because it's. I haven't seen who the voting panel is for the Norm.
Let's put it this way: who are three players, right? If they win the Norm Smith, well, if they're in Norm Smith. Calculations in terms of vote polling.
Yep.
Geelong would win the game.
Gary Rowan?
Yes.
Zach Tuohy?
Potentially.
Grian Myers.
Okay, so if those three, any of those three were in the, or all three, they'll certainly win. But yeah, for me, I'd say, it's probably the obvious one, but I'd say Tommy Hawkins.
Yep.
If he's at the pointy end of...
That's yeah. He's not... Unless he kicked eight in the losing side.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right. Yep.
I'd say Tommy Hawkins is crucial to the Cats tomorrow night. Bolter's been an unbelievable story this year, but he's still a bit young.
Reece Stanley's the other one.
Yeah, Reece Stanley's really important. He needs to break even. He needs to be competitive and provide something. He doesn't need to be a star, but he's just got to provide something for the push. And the other one, too, for me, who... I reckon he's going to step up and he's going to lead from the front as a skipper. He's just been hanging out a bit.
If he was a
four, not hanging out, as in he was like, a four-time, not hanging out, but
so,
you know what I mean.
So it's his 200th game as captain.
Yeah.
Tomorrow night.
Is it?
Yep.
200 games as the skipper.
As skipper or acting. So there were some games in 2011 that Lingy must have missed that he was captain. Would he consider hanging them up as a four-time premiership player?
No. He's got 2 years to run his deal, isn't he?
He does.
Yeah, no. He'd be 100-1. I did hear a whisper, though.
Two or one. No, he might have only had one.
I did hear a little whisper that Jack Riewoldt was going to retire.
Okay.
After the game.
Yep.
He still has a year to run on his contract, but
he's done.
Yeah, I don't know.
He's
whether...
He's closing on 300, too.
Yeah, I don't know whether that's true. Yeah, that okay. could just be...
Can I give you some questions?
Could be many? Baloney, yep.
Good luck with the call on Saturday. Thank you. This is from NQ Flog. Hawkins' ruck work in the forward 50 is a weapon and making Stanley's job a lot easier. I did notice that Blitz was one kick defensive side of the ball a lot, and I think that's where he needs to play. He can fill the gap of the Richmond forwards and has the wheels to run forward and help out. Well, a bit what we talked about a bit earlier. You're right.
And the thing about it is, at least with that happening with Hawkins, Geelong know Hawkins is going to contest the ruck. Richmond have to make a decision on who they send and how it works for them.
Actually, this is also from NQ Flog. Loving, and I know you love this, the footage of the catch in the tunnel before running out.
It was gold.
Shows insight into their mental attitude, and it's no coincidence they've started well the last few games. Richmond will bring it for four quarters, but I feel something is lacking with them. No better time to strike.
Yeah, I agree. Just in the back of your mind, they've been so good, Richmond, that you... I've said to a few people this week that Richmond going as well as they were when they've won the last 3 years?
No.
I know they didn't win it in 18, but...
No, because they've had to go the long way. So there's your obvious answer.
But they just don't seem to be sort of quite going as well.
No.
And I might be... But the thing is, in the back of your mind, you think, geez, they could just turn it on.
Yep, correct.
So, but I do agree that Geelong are the team that are in form. It sort of reminding me a little bit of 2016 and 2017, where the Bulldogs were the underdog.
Mm.
But had really good form
yep.
coming in.
Momentum.
Got the chockies. And in 2017, I know Richmond won, but they went in as the underdog.
Yep.
But they had really good form.
And I reckon same in 2014, Hawthorn went in as the underdog against the Swans.
And yeah.
And just so, made some statements early.
Yeah, but they built momentum. So 16 Bulldogs, 17 Richmond went in as actually the form team, but the underdog.
Yep.
And I think there's a little bit about that, a little bit like that tomorrow night with the Cats. The Cats are the underdog, but they've actually got some really good form. And just and it's really hard to marry up form lines against different opposition. But Geelong are in a really good headspace, it seems. Key players are in form. Richmond have got the job done. But even the game against St Kilda dominated that game in patches. They didn't have the polish to finish, but they actually did dominate the game.
Yep.
So, you know, Geelong dominated Collingwood, dominated Brisbane.
Yep.
Brisbane were on the back foot for most of that game the other night. It took the Cats a while to break it right open. But Geelong,
it's a prelim final.
Yeah.
On
Dunghill,
yep,
in front of their home crowd,
yep,
and Geelong, in the end, they always seem to have Brisbane at arm's length.
Yep.
And in the end, broke it right open. But they are in form, and I'm just hoping that they can continue that form. Because I think they produce their best, they'll win.
Turkey Tom, not our main focus this week, but has to be mentioned. Jeremy Cameron with possible reduced list next season, winners and losers on our list if he does make it to the club.
Yeah, well, there's a few. You think Radaglia would be wondering what his role would be. And Nathan Kruger is the other one, who's only a young player. This is sort of part of the problem. Well, it's not a problem, but getting players in like Cameron and topping up your list with these sort of established stars, which is great in the short term. What it does long term.
But we said this 5 years ago.
Yeah, true. But so there'd be some guys thinking, I mean, if Geelong gets Sean Higgins...
There'll be a Jake Tarker going, well, obviously I'm surplus to requirements because I can play a small
But there'll forward. Be guys like Narkle, Constable,
But I'm talking Lockie, they're going to play Higgins as a permanent half forward, you would suspect, with a little bit of a burst in the middle. He's going to play the...
I reckon they might play him on the wing, even.
No, we've already got Menegola and Blitzarves.
Well, Blitzarves, Taylor retires, Blitzarves goes back.
Unless they go with one of the kids down back.
Well, that'd be a big call, but they might.
Yeah.
The other one, too, is, I mean... Yeah, getting Jack Stephen. I don't understand that. Why they wouldn't have got some games into someone like Cooper Stevens.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I'll tell you what. Have you seen footage of Cooper Stevens lately?
No.
He's put whatever gym time he's had this year to very, very good
use. Yeah, they really like him.
He was already well put together.
Joel Corey-style sort of player.
Yeah, he's going to be good.
This is an opportunity. Why they're playing Jack Stephen, I have no idea. Why they just couldn't get a few games into Cooper Stephen, and even a few more games into Lachie Fogarty to see whether he's up to it. Because I reckon there's huge question marks on Lachie Fogarty. I don't know what, for a top 25 pick, I don't know what he brings to the table that's elite. He just seems to be sort of average at everything. And I'm not knocking him, but if you're picking that high, you want somebody to be elite at something.
You've got to have some. Yeah,
and
some.
He doesn't seem to be. Yep. So, yeah, look, there's going to be some... If they get Cameron and Higgins, which we're suggesting that they will and seem to be done in many ways...
The Isaac Smith to Geelong won't go away either.
Yeah, I don't know that one's happening.
Yeah.
I think what happens, Kingy, too, is that managers use other clubs as leverage for players.
Yep.
Now, I've got absolutely no doubt, looking back on it, that Jack Viney's manager used Geelong as leverage... Because within 1 week of him being linked to Geelong, he signed a 5-year deal at Melbourne. So his manager used the Cats. Now the Cats bit, I reckon. Cats bit on the toing and froing with the manager of Jack Viney, and it blew him up in the face because did they have a Zoom meeting with him?
Oh, that I don't know, but they may have, yeah.
And then that got reported in the Herald Sun.
Yeah, okay.
But I reckon clubs need to be careful that managers aren't
playing them.
Yes.
Yep.
I reckon the Cats might have got
played
like a, played a bit of old Dobro style.
Off the break.
A bit of Dobro style. Have you ever a bit of Dobro? I've basically listened to Leonard Skinner, Kingy.
Right.
If you've got nothing else to do, just pop on a bit of Leonard Skinner tea.
I only know Sweet Home Alabama.
Well, that's the song everyone knows, but most people don't know Leonard Skinner sang Sweet Home Alabama, but they have some absolute classics. Tea for Texas, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's just one of the greats. Okay. It's a cover of a Jimmy Rogers song. So Jimmy Rogers is around in the 30s.
Yep.
And Leonard's going to do this unbelievable cover of Tea for Texas.
Tea for Texas, okay. Yeah. Thank you for the musical history lesson. Spencer Davis passed during the week.
Did he?
Yeah.
Wow.
He was very good.
Yes.
Yeah. 81.
81?
81, yeah.
It's good darts.
They are good darts. Cool Cat 75 Jeremy Cameron. Is it better we pay him in line with our pay structure of around 800K a year, which GWS might match, and we give up two first-round draft picks, or pay him $1.1 million per year, thus preventing a match and saving those draft picks? No, you pay him in line. You don't pay him $1.1.
No, you don't. It's a fair question.
I think it's 800, one of those draft picks, and a player.
Who do you reckon they'll ask for?
They've asked for Parfitt.
They're not having Parfitt.
Apparently Parfitt's re-signed, two-year deal. Yeah, which doesn't mean anything.
He's not going anywhere.
He's not going anywhere.
No.
He's not going anywhere. Daz Broncos, last one.
Daz!
Gents, first of all, on behalf of Big Footy and the GFC posters, thank you for your continued efforts in the face of uncertainty and increased difficulty for not only bringing us the GFC updates, but also keeping the Cat Attack podcast going. We're the only club board with regular podcast and media interactions and are extremely grateful for the regular use of ointment, spasm, being introduced to an exploding rooster bum, and being as safe as a knitted condom. Hi, Wendy.
We need to say thanks to Daz, because Daz does some seriously hard yards to get a glimpse of his footy team that he loves very dearly. And
he's in Miami. Last we knew, he was in Miami.
Oh, he could be.
Bienvenidos in Miami.
The old Corona's going berserk in America. But we need to say thanks to Daz, because his interaction is fantastic, and he does. You're seriously committed when you're getting up at sort of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 in the morning.
I reckon he's got an insider at the club too, because he has some info that you go, oh, how do you know?
Yeah,
that?
But he's got his finger on the pulse, and he's a zillion miles away. Thanks, Daz, for all your stuff during the year. We appreciate all our listeners and all our punters who get involved, particularly on game day as well with K-Rock Footy. So, and we're hoping that we can be, well, we won't be, but the skipper, the number 14, is holding the silverware aloft at about 10:30 tomorrow night.
Absolutely. So he asked a couple of other questions. We have touched on them, Daz, just regarding about Dusty and keeping him limited. And obviously, can Gary Ablett Jr. get a Norm Smith in his last?
Did you see, I was just talking about Dusty and Danger. One of the things they had on the show last night on Fox was the heat map of where Dangerfield had been getting the ball in the finals, and it was all forward.
Yep.
Which is... And Joey Montagna made the point that the Cats' midfield functions better when Dangerfield's not in it.
You've been saying that for a while, Benny. A
couple of years.
Yeah.
It's not better. It functions better.
Yeah. Yep. Absolutely. So, Carrick Football from 5 Saturday night.
Oh, kingy.
All right. Gil McLaughlin, Colin Carter, Matty Scarlett.
Oh, the 30.
The 30's joining us, and he knows about
it. He was a fairly handy player on the big stage,
wasn't he? Yeah, he just poked around on grand final day.
He did too. He did a bit of poking around. He did the hokey pokey.
Pete Ryan from the H.
Oh, Pete, what's he done in the bubble? He's a Collingwood man, so he'd be still dusting himself off after the Cats gave him Winburn a few weeks ago.
So 2.5 hours, our biggest pre-game of the year. Really can't wait. You and me calling all the action. For you, Benny, other than a half of a grand final about 5 years ago.
Yes. I haven't done a granny.
You're going to do a granny for
so
the first
I've
time?
Sort of. But it's been a little bit of a Stephen Bradbury, because no one else has been able to get
well,
here.
That's how I got my first granny in 2010 when... Mytho had to call me in because Chuck was in South Africa with South Australia and Koza was at the Comm Games in Dally. And I hadn't called since around 22.
No, well, you've gone on since then. So I'm really looking forward to it. First grand final will be with the team that I support. So,
I haven't called the Cats in one either. This will be my first.
So I'm really looking forward to it. So I've done a little bit of homework and got everything, got the eyes dotted and the T's crossed. Got all that one. You can easily get that way the wrong way around.
Neildy's going to be with us.
But yeah, look, it's exciting time, and I think Geelong are going in as I'm confident they'll play well.
Yep.
I wouldn't say I'm confident they'll win.
No, I'm saying I'm confident they'll win.
Yeah, I'm confident they'll play well and they'll do their fans proud. If they don't win, and they get beaten by a better team, then you just dip your lid. But they've had a great season, so let's hope they can cap it off.
So this was the thing we were going to discuss, and we discussed it last week, but we're going to discuss today, and I'm probably only remembering it now. No matter what the result tomorrow night, is the season a success?
I'd say so.
Yep.
I'd say so. You'd have to, grand final appearance. I wouldn't have picked the Cats playing off in the grand final at the start of the year. Some players have stood up, developed, which hasn't always been the case, but they've been able to get some games into guys like Meyer. I mean, let's forget, Meyer's only a second year senior player. Now it's his third year on the list.
He hasn't missed a game.
Yeah.
Since he debuted. So he's played, quick count, I think he's played, this will be 45 consecutive games from debut.
Good effort.
Yep.
He's still very much a player, a development player.
Yep.
And, you know, Parfitt's taken a step. Guthrie and Menegola are a little bit older, but they've certainly taken steps. Colajasny, Henry, yep. O'Connor, Buse. Yep. I like their defence. The defence isn't going anywhere.
No.
And I think...
Other than Taylor retiring.
Well, and I think if they decide to put Blitzars back, which let's hope, I think their defence could be better next year. Mm. So they've got a really sturdy defence. So look, yeah, it certainly has been a really, really good year, a successful year. I think now, though, where they are, they'll be bitterly disappointed if they don't win it.
Yep. So we'll be back next week sometime. We may even wait till after the Kaji, which is next Thursday.
It's a bit on, is it? Melbourne Cup's a week after, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
Yep.
If you were to predict a Kaji top three?
The best and fairest. I'll say Hawkins, mm-hmm. Guthrie,
yep.
Menegola.
Guthrie, Hawkins, yeah, Menegola.
Oh, I thought you're going to phone a friend. Okay, so we've got the same three.
Yeah.
Just
yeah.
in a different order.
Well, you and I both.
Dangerfield, not top three.
He'll come with a rush.
He'll come late, yeah. But he was a bit off the pace early, yeah, wasn't he?
He'll be fashionably late. But.
And who then is your one that I think Parfitt will be up there?
Yeah, Stewart missing games hurts, but I think Stewart will poll well.
Yep. Busey will poll well.
I think Busey will poll well. And
I think Colajasny will poll well.
And I think Stanley will poll well, but he won't because he's missed too many games.
Yeah.
You're going to have some blokes that have missed too much footy. Jack Henry will poll okay too.
Well, I think Colajasny will get a few votes. Mm. He's not going to get the ball a whole lot, so you don't tend to notice him. But I think internally they'll see that he did some good jobs.
Yeah. If he kicks a goal tomorrow night.
Geelong will win.
And Geelong win.
Imagine he kicked the goal after the siren.
Just give him Kaji tomorrow as well.
Imagine if he does kick a goal in the grand final, wow. Make it or to put the Cats like 14 points in front with 2 minutes to go.
Wow.
You'd be complete strides off.
Yeah, we will be.
Yeah. All right.
Bye.
Good work.
Kerr's Hire, Geelong's official Wacker Noisa dealer. North Geelong, Grovedale and Ocean Grove. KerrsHire.com.au.